Good evening, and welcome to the fourth night of our novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This evening's topic is how Mary leads us to the Blessed Sacrament. Let us begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How fitting for this topic to be, how Mary leads us to the Blessed Sacrament on this Corpus Christi Sunday. I want to highlight the words "us" in the above sentence. This "us" does not refer to a blob of people, but of individuals, you and me. It is communal, my community and your family. Mary has already led us, you and me, to the Blessed Sacrament this evening, just by coming to the talk in our chapel. As a child asks for help from their mother, so we ask Mary to help show us how to love her Son in the Blessed Sacrament as she does. Tonight, I would like to highlight two ways Mary leads us to the Blessed Sacrament. First, her example of adoration, and second, her self-gift. In the book, Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament by St. Peter Julian Aimard, he said, Mary's life can be summed up in one word, adoration. Mary's whole life was one of adoration. The word adore means to worship, from the Latin ad, directed to another, and orare, to speak or to pray. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states, to adore God is to acknowledge him as God, as the Creator and Savior, the Lord and Master of everything that exists, as infinite and merciful love. To adore God is to praise and exalt him and to humble oneself as Mary did in the Magnificat, confessing with gratitude that he has done great things and holy is his name. Mary loved God at every moment of her life, not thinking how she could please herself, but how she could please God, and this is what brought love to her adoration. She learned the scriptures, went to the synagogue with Jesus and Joseph. She made meals and brought water in from the well. And all of this flowed from her worship. Mary was God-centered first, which then led her to be other-centered, as her worship flowed out through her actions. Mary's acts of love led her closer to God and united her more closely to him. Mary leads us to the Eucharist because she's inseparable from it. St. John Paul II's document, Ecclesiae Dei Eucharistia, states, Mary is present with the Church as the Mother of the Church at each of our celebrations of the Eucharist. If the Church and the Eucharist are inseparably united, the same ought to be said of Mary and the Eucharist. Mary can guide us towards this most holy sacrament, because she herself has a profound relationship with it. We can learn from Our Lady's relationship with her Son. Jesus gave us his mom to be our guide and example. John Paul continues, Mary is a woman of the Eucharist in her whole life. The Church, which looks to Mary as model, is also called to imitate her in relationship with this holy mystery. She's our model and guide to show us how to love and adore her Son. Mary always said yes perfectly to God. She spent many quiet moments just in his presence, resting with him. Her love led her to adoration. Even when it was hard, she said yes. For example, by fleeing immediately with Joseph and Jesus, when Joseph received a message from God in a dream that he needed to take Mary and Jesus and go to Egypt to keep Jesus safe from the sword of Herod. Even in this suffering, she adored Jesus and kept him close to her heart as she held him in her arms and wept for the innocent children that would be killed. This year, I had the opportunity to help with several Fiat Ministries events in our diocese. Fiat Ministries is an organization that seeks to promote religious life. You can probably tell why I love them. One way to do this is by their mother-daughter events, bringing mothers and their daughters, ages kindergarten to eighth grade, to encounter sisters from various religious communities. These events are designed to foster enthusiasm for religious vocations in young girls. There's a lunch, a craft, and a fun activity, and the afternoon closes with 30 minutes of adoration. The girls and their moms, or other influential women in the girls' life, join the sisters in adoring our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I was struck by how the girls observed their mothers in adoration and imitated their example. One mother was folding her hands, praying quietly, and looking at our Lord in the monstrance. After looking at her mother, the daughter did the same thing. Another mother was sitting with her eyes closed praying, and so was the daughter. It was beautiful to see the daughters looking to their mothers and imitating them. So we, like these daughters, can look to Mary to show us how to love and adore her son, and we can imitate her example. She shows us through her exterior posture, through her reverence and interior disposition of humility as referenced in her Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. In our diocese, we're abundantly blessed to have 90 parish churches and 50 adoration chapels. Not all of them are perpetual, but most of them are. We learn from Mary's example how to gaze lovingly upon her son, to be present to him, and to love him. Her love for Christ did not peak in his infancy, but continued to grow daily as she pondered him in her heart. In adoration, we get to be with the Lord in his real presence. We get to listen and to speak to him. He waits for us for our love. Blessed Carlo Acutis once said, "The Lord is the only person that we don't have to ask if he's available. I can always confide something in him. I can also complain or question him in silent moments and tell him the things that I don't understand. Then I find within me some words he sends me, some passage from the gospel that cloaks me in security and confidence." Mary was the first person to know and experience his availability, to ask him questions, and to hear his answers in words or throughout the daily events of her life. She looked to the scriptures to see God's love and promise fulfilled by her son. She also found more about her son by studying, pondering, and praying with the word. Let us not take this gift of adoration for granted. In visits to the Blessed Sacrament by St. Alphonsus Liguori, he says, "For those who are in love, there is no greater pleasure than to be in one another's company. We spend time with those we love. We want to be there, we want to be with them and present to them." This was Mary's life. Mary spent time with Jesus. She shared her heart and her life with him, and she invites us to do the same. Nothing is too great or too small to tell our Lord, because he cares about us as individuals, you and me. He wants to know what bothers you, what weighs on your heart, the little things that make you smile. Soon, you may even have inside jokes with Jesus. He spoke and you came into being. He has created you as part of his plan with a specific purpose in mind. The fact that you and I are here is a sign of God's love for us, for all of us, because he cares. He wants to have an authentic relationship. He wants us to have an authentic relationship with him, for us to hold nothing back from him, for that is why we were created. He does not want us to be surface-level bobber Christians, affected by every wind of the world and not able to go deeper than the surface. We are called and invited to put our snorkeling gear on, to be deep sea divers, and to know that the pearl of great price that lies within the stillness of the bottom of the ocean is ours to have. St. Alphonsus Liguori says, "If men always had recourse to the Blessed Sacrament to find there a remedy for all their troubles, they would certainly not be as unhappy as they are." Let me read that one more time. It's important. If men always had recourse to the Blessed Sacrament to find there a remedy for all their troubles, they would certainly not be as unhappy as they are. Mary shows us how to go to our Lord with our troubles, as she did at the wedding of Cana. We can talk to Jesus, as Our Lady did, in confident trust and adoration. She presented the need to the Lord and did not tell him how to fix it, nor did she try to fix it herself. She went to Jesus first. Then she waited to know how she could cooperate with his plan. By telling the servers, "Do whatever he tells you," we see her confidence in her son, whom she knew would provide in the best way. The enemy wants us to try to be like God without God. God wants us to try to be like him with him. The enemy tells us we have to do it all by ourselves. God says, "Trust me with it, and I will make something beautiful with it or out of it." Let us give our cares and our worries to Jesus and confidently cooperate even when we don't know the end result. Trusting is central to a relationship with God. We have to practice and make acts of trust to grow in trust. For example, "God, I trust that you will give me the grace to give this talk." So far, so good. "God, I trust that you will take care of this situation. I place it in your hands. God, I trust that there will be really good cookies this evening." The more we trust God, the more intimate and deeper our relationship will be. One's adoration looks different at different stages in one's life. Returning to St. Peter Julian Aimard, he tells us to notice the nature of Mary's adoration. She adored our Lord according to the different states in his life. Jesus' state determined the character of her adoration. Her adoration did not stay in a set groove. At Bethlehem, Mary was the first to adore our Lord in the manger. Mary continued to adore our Lord in his hidden life in Nazareth, afterwards in his apostolic life, and finally on Calvary, when her adoration became intense suffering. Mary's adoration grew and developed as she became Jesus' mother, and as he matured and got older. "I have yet to meet a mother that has told me she loves her son the same as when he was born." Mothers love their sons more now because they have grown in relationship with them. Their relationship is deeper. They share things with each other. And similarly, our prayer life changes and it can grow and deepen as we have more life experience. As we have explored the theme of adoration and how Mary's relationship with Jesus continued to grow and develop corresponding to the present moment, now we will explore her gift of self. As Sister Mary Jane Francis beautifully brought out last night in her talk about Mary's humility, Mary never assumed that she would be the mother of God. Yet when she was asked, she only wanted to assent to God's will and gave her fiat readily. Once she knew that her cousin Elizabeth was with child at an elderly age, she went in haste to help her. Mary's love moved her to help another person. Her love for God flowed out into love of neighbor, the gift of her time and resources to her cousin Elizabeth. And we know that Elizabeth was humbled to have Mary in her home. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Our gift of self is also shown in love for others. Our love for God should flow out to our neighbor. In the gospel for today's Mass, it shows us an example of what God can do when we offer him what we have. In the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, 5 loaves and 2 fish are all we have. But this small offering is given to the Lord. He said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets. You're probably very familiar with this story, but have you ever thought about what happened? 5 loaves and 2 fish would not be an adequate meal for more than a few people. But the Lord fed 5,000 people with this small amount. And there were so many leftovers that each apostle had his own wicker basket full. Only God can take a situation where only a few people would receive a little food to 5,000 being satisfied and having an abundance left over. Wow, this is an amazing miracle. We give the Lord the little we have. We make our self-gift. We offer our meager 5 loaves and 2 fish, and He multiplies it abundantly. But actually, we experience this every Sunday. During the Mass at the offertory, we bring bread and wine, and He transforms it into His body and blood. In reference to this reality, a priest of our diocese said, "If He can do that with bread and wine, how much more will He do when we give ourselves to Him?" Mary shows us how to make a gift of ourselves because she gave her 5 loaves and 2 fish daily to the Lord. What she had, she gave back to Him. She was daily transformed by God, and it flowed out in her daily acts of love. She cared for Jesus and Joseph. She did simply all the responsibilities asked of her as a wife and mother in the moment. Ecclesiae de Eucharistia says, "Gazing upon Mary, we come to know the transforming power present in the Eucharist. In her, we see the world renewed in love." Her proximity, closeness to the Lord, transformed her, bringing her ever greater holiness. The same can happen with us. Our adoration is supposed to change us and strengthen us to lay down our lives for others, making a self-gift as Jesus did for us. This can manifest itself in small or big ways, offering a smile to a cranky coworker, letting the lady in the store go ahead of you, being patient with your child or relative who takes your care for them for granted. The possibilities to renew the world in love are endless. Adoration can be a form of stewardship as we give our time to the Lord. Time is one thing we can't buy and don't seem to have enough of. Time is one thing I wish I had a little more of, especially in preparation for this talk. Time is God's gift to us. It can be hard to know where to spend our time. In the first reading for today's Mass, Abraham offered the priest Melchizedek 1/10 of everything in thanksgiving for winning a battle against the pagan king. Everything for you could include your time. God has put the spark of love into your soul, but we can offer our time to Him to help fan the flame. Some questions for reflection. Might God be asking me to give Him more of my time? Is He calling me to go to Mass more frequently, to be intentional in calling to mind His presence throughout my day, to check my phone less often and say a prayer for those on my heart instead? Does He desire me to make a spiritual communion, uniting my heart to Him even when I can't receive Him sacramentally? Another way to give Him our time is through a holy hour. If you do not have a holy hour, are there open hours in your parish the Lord is asking you to consider? If you already have a holy hour, I would encourage you to see how you can make the most out of your holy hour by being with the Lord intentionally. Ask Him what He wants you to do in your holy hour. You might be surprised. He may just want you to be with Him and receive His love by looking at Him and sharing your heart with Him. He may also be inviting you to a deeper prayer and knowledge of Himself, Might need your snorkeling gear for that one. He may bring up a memory, and you may be able to reflect on it with him. In our joys and sufferings, Jesus wants to draw close to us. When we receive a consolation, a gift of his love, we can rest in it and thank him for it. Our Lady did not just give a tenth of everything. She gave 100% as corresponded to her vocation. The Lord's not asking us to give exactly what Mary gave, but how she gave it. She gave from the heart. I don't think Melchizedek measured Abraham's offering to the milligram to make sure it was a tenth of everything, but he was so generous because of the gratitude in his heart. It was the intention and love behind the gift. When we adore Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, it prepares us to more worthily receive him in the Eucharist. The Church tells us that the Eucharist is the source and summit of Christian life. The Eucharist is the source and summit of her life. For Mary, receiving the Eucharist must have somehow meant welcoming once more into her womb the heart that had beat in unison with hers, and reliving what she experienced at the foot of the cross. Our Lady received our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament with deep reverence because her adoration prepared her for communion with God. Mary leads us to receive her Son in the Blessed Sacrament so we can become what we eat, and we can become more conformed closely to her Son and experience that same communion, guiding us to make the Eucharist the source and summit of our life as well. Mary leads us to her Son in the Blessed Sacrament through her example of adoration and how her love for him developed according to her state in life. She leads us to adore her Son in churches, chapels, and in our neighbor, and through our day-to-day activities. She leads us to the Blessed Sacrament by showing us how to give ourselves like she did. She gave 100% of her day and invites us to offer him our day as well. Can we give him the time he desires from us? Do we make time for Jesus? How is the Lord calling you to give your time to him according to your state in life? We would not miss an appointment at work. Do you treasure your prayer time equally? Mary, show me how to adore and receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament like you did, and offer my gift of self to him as I receive his gift of self to me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.